This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Welcome to Wavelength, bringing out the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. I'm your host, Alf Neo Ting. Hope you're doing well. This week on the show, I'll be joined by Melbourne-based Malaysian singer-songwriter and producer, Yo. We'll be finding out more about his musical journey, songwriting, picking up the guitar, as well as working with Singaporean artist Kitty Prunas for their latest single, called Lil Secret, the second single from Singapore's The Great Wave artist Collective DAO. All that and more coming your way, but to take you there, here are a couple of tunes leading up to that interview. In the meantime, I've lined up music from Indonesia's Romantic Echoes with Paradisa and a brand new one from Yuna's Y5 release. But let's kick off the show with this one from Thai American singer-songwriter Daniel Reen, Making Moves on Wavelength BFM 89.9.
Bila kau hilang.
You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Baby, don't go. This feeling's getting out of control. I can't believe it. Been dreaming about us. I feel like I loved you all my life. All this time in my dreaming. You make loving you so easy. can't get enough, yeah. Baby, I just can't get enough, yeah. I just can't get enough, yeah, yeah. I just can't get over you.
I just can't get over you.
I just can't get over you. You're holding me tight, staying up all night, laying by your side.
That was Yuna with Can't Get Over You, taken from Yuna's fifth full-length album, Y5, an album that sees the end of her EP series throughout the year, and is also her first release as an independent artist in 10 years. Alright, we'll be heading for a very short break, but when we return, I'll be joined by singer-songwriter and producer Yo. Here's another one before that break. It's from six-piece Malaysian band Captain Trips and the Kid, a band who are gearing up for the release of their third album, Synth Tech, that's dropping tomorrow. This next one will be the album closer on that 11-track release. It's called The Hardest Pill to Swallow by Captain Trips and the Kid.
I can't stand up letting it go. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wavelength, bringing out the best sounds from the Asian region with me, your host, Ofnir Ting. Now, I'm about to be joined by Yo, Melbourne-based Malaysian singer-songwriter and producer. But to get things going, here's a track from him that dropped early last year. It's Yo with You In. Stay tuned.
You're working at beating your 5K time. My physio keeping your back pain quiet. I see you running in your wireframes. Funny, cause I do the same. I couldn't help but react to your story. I said I ain't seen you in a while. Tell me what you been up to. You say you hustle like we used to. And this I could get used to. We're texting like we used to. I'm not thirsty for something. Smile when it hurts, cause you like no songs on my mixtape. I just wanna know if I'm worth it. Am I just another dish at the buffet? I say serve up everything that you got. No, I don't need a plate, but I eat a lot. And you taste so good. See, I could go days with no other flavor. Come and do yourself a favor, let me savor your bad behavior. Promise I'ma break your mission right off. We go, say everything you wanna hear, cause I need you near me. Let me whisper in your ear, what you're trapped in the rear of my for years. I'm not on you for something new. Just wanna find out how to get a piece of you. You're gonna break my heart clean in two. But I'm still there. Yeah, feelings that burn for you. Tell me, are you in? Are you in? Dividing your time between working and not. Tell me, are you in? Are you in? Call me if you need a good reason to leave. I'll show you why. Our limits are sky.
Now joining me on the line, I have Yo, a Malaysian from Penang, if I'm not mistaken.
Kind of. I was born in Australia, but my dad is from Penang. My mom is from Kelantan, sorry.
One of our own. So he's currently based in Melbourne. So nice to have you on the show, man.
Thank you so much.
I want to start with asking you, what are some essential ingredients that make up the signature EO sound?
That's a great question. I think I love bass, first of all. Like, a lot of my songs have just like heavy emphasis on bass and bass textures. I think because it's the part of the music spectrally that like moves you, physically moves you. And then also I like distortion and warmth. So I like to naturally break things down a little bit in that sense. So like degrade them in terms of fidelity to give it some kind of atmosphere, I guess.
Bass really fills up a lot of space in terms of production, so it's nice to play around with that.
Yeah, I would say so too. It's starting to get really interesting too as we move towards music being consumed very heavily on systems that don't accommodate bass. So
yeah.
Like, for example, your phone.
Yep.
And so these days it's like sometimes I listen to my mixes on my phone because I know that's where a lot of people will be listening, and I'm like, all right, well, I have to do something with the bass here because you can't even hear it. It's like not even there.
So what do you normally do in those situations?
There are some plugins that can help you to bring some emphasis to the higher registers of the bass, so you can still get like harmonic tones through that, regardless of what sound you're using. But then if it's dire straits and that's not working, I usually just mirror the bass line with another sound of some kind. But keep it really tight so that you can't tell that it's two sounds mashed together.
And most of the time when you produce music, I mean, it's on studio monitors, and it's important as well, right, to think of how your listener would consume your music, either on like pretty bad speakers in the car or, as you said, on the iPhone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is. You don't want to get too caught up in that. Like, your stuff could also get played at a nightclub or something, right?
True.
Like, so if that happens, you want to make sure that the bottom end is totally banging. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you missed the point.
Yeah. So what motivated you to make music in the very first place?
I think it was a place where I didn't have to think so much. Growing up as an Asian kid in a very white country like Australia, and an only child as well, I just spent a lot of time alone with my thoughts, and being able to turn them off, like, music was one of the things that helped me just switch the brain off, and I could just play and enjoy myself and be free in that.
What was your first instrument?
Piano.
Piano. Yeah. Would you say a piano is a good place to start that would lead musicians to other instruments? Would you say, is it a good foundation?
Absolutely. I think it is. It's probably got one of the steepest learning curves because there's so many possibilities and like ways you can learn it. And it's quite daunting at first because you're using all five digits plus 2 feet to control it. And then, there's so much harmonic variety as well and stylistic approaches. But once you grasp harmony and stuff like that with piano, it's such a great visual interface. Like, you can look at 12 different notes and construct something with 12 different notes, which means your palette is huge. It's absolutely huge. You could make an argument for a lot of different instruments, though. I mean, I think it comes down to personal preference in the end.
I know you take a lot of pride in your role as a producer, and you were even thinking of releasing a beat tape instrumental album of sorts, right?
Correct, yeah.
Would you say you're a producer first or musician first?
I think I'm a musician first. I really obviously enjoy production and all the interesting things you can do with that practice. But at the end of the day, I like good chords and voice leading and melodies and songwriting, and for me, all that stuff lives in the skill set of a musician more so than a producer. People want to argue about that, but that's what I believe.
Do you have a go-to instrument that you usually go to for writing songs? Because certain instrument, brings out more songs somehow. Do you have one such instrument?
It's true. So, I mean, I was waxing lyrical about the piano before, and I think that the piano is still awesome. But I actually prefer writing on guitar because it simplifies things and it allows my creative side of the brain to go further. Whereas when I sit in front of a piano, all I really think about is playing the piano well. Whereas if I sit in front of an instrument I don't know so well, such as guitar or bass, or sometimes I write off like samples or things that aren't musical, but that allows your brain to go further into different creative spaces and explore further. So yeah, but I would say guitar is like one of my most enjoyable things.
And I guess when you're not so familiar with the instrument, there's more room for happy accidents as well, you know, accidentally stumbling upon a magical chord.
100%. So one thing that a lot of older musicians, I think, can identify with is once you've played an instrument for a long time, you seem to fall into the same patterns over and over again.
Mm.
And that has happened to me with piano. Like, and you hear it too in my music. Like, I go to the same progressions and same chords and colors like a lot. And it can feel stale sometimes.
Yeah.
And so an instrument that you don't know so well, you don't know the rules. So you kind of just do whatever you want and cool stuff comes out of that.
Sure. Since we're on the topic of instruments, right, you distinctively use the guitar for live shows. So why the guitar? Sorry, I know you've been probably asked this question very often, but when I think of the guitar, right, I somehow instantly think of people like Herbie Hancock, his vocoder era, you know, he used the guitar. But what about you? Why the guitar?
It was kind of a natural progression. I think I did it at the very beginning because, I used to play in a progressive metal band, right, on keyboards. And that's like quite technical music, but it's also quite energetic music. So I hated that I was trapped behind this thing on the floor, like on a stand, this really long rectangle, and I couldn't come out from behind there. Like I was stuck there. I couldn't run around or jump up and down. And then so I just, back when guitars weren't really that cool in the early 2000s, like, you know, it wasn't the 80s when, Herbie Hancock is a big hero of mine, but like when him and Chick Corea were playing guitars, like that was really freaking cool. But now when I picked it up, it was super cheap and it was like discontinued, like people weren't interested. They thought they were toys. And then so I just picked one up off eBay. And then I played a show with it and I was like, I love the freedom that this gives me in a metal band. And then I started bringing it over to my pop stuff and it just worked really well.
Mm.
I tried to not, because I mean, it's a bit gimmicky. I don't want to hide behind that. Like, I think it's a very distinct look, you know, you can't go past it when you see it. But what I want to do is play it well. You know, I see a lot of people picking up the guitar for like visual effects these days and they can't really play it that well. And it's weird because it's a different kind of instrument. It needs, you need to practice on it and like you need to get used to the weight of it. And it's just more complicated than you think. Mm. Yeah.
And you have that modulation control technically on the left side of the guitar. Do you use that very frequently as well?
I do. It's really handy to be expressive in solos and lead lines and stuff like that.
Mm.
And it also allows you to add another texture when you're playing chords. But that's the beautiful thing about guitars is, well, the older guitars, I've had some bad experiences with the new ones, but the older ones, you can program them to control a lot of different things.
Mm.
So, yeah.
How many guitars do you have currently?
I've only got two. Yeah, I've got one that is a spare and it's in mint condition and I haven't even touched it. Like I've turned it on a couple of times to test it. But yeah, I've got that and then just my main rig, which is all scratched up, but I love it. It's great.
Nice. Now, for some musicians, being your own producer solves a lot of problems, right? And it's just more efficient sometimes because there's a certain immediacy to having an idea in your head and recording straight away, unfiltered and unaffected by any external influences. Have you worked with other producers before this and how did you eventually land with self-producing your own music?
Before this, I actually hadn't worked with any other producers. I'd worked with kind of mucked around with some friends, but just like kind of two people playing with beats. This was very early on in my career before I'd even released anything. And I found that really fun because it was like you connected over grooves and sounds and textures and that was just, you're just playing, right? But as I went on, I had a very specific idea in my mind of what I wanted things to sound like. And I thought to myself, well, also, I want to write for other people. I never saw myself as a vocalist or as the front person of a song or as the performer in a song. I just wanted to produce like behind the scenes. But then eventually, like I don't know why, but no one was interested in being on my records. So I thought, well, I'll just form them as well. So that has led to me producing myself all this time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it was purely self-taught. How do you pick up the skill? Was it from watching videos yourself, that kind of thing?
I actually studied it in university. So
I see.
Like sound production. Yeah, I did a 3-year undergraduate in Queensland at the conservatorium there. And at the time, it felt like I was like learning some dark art that even I couldn't understand. Like, I was trying to understand it. I was reading the textbooks and picking up the theory on audio and practicing things. But a lot of the time, I couldn't hear the technique's usefulness. Like, I couldn't hear the differences. But by the time it came to the kind of, I guess, fourth or fifth year of my career, I was like, actually, all this nuance, I've started picking it up. I can hear it now. And I hear myself making a difference. And from there, it's just like, you never stop learning. Like, even my mixing these days is like, I'm trying new stuff all the time. And, and I love what I'm trying. It's always like, oh, that makes it way better. Like, this is easier. Like, I should just do this. And yeah, it's really fun.
After producing music for so many years, you know, you've been churning out tunes for a couple of years now. Do you have a certain set process when it comes to songwriting, or do you usually play by ear most of the time and, you know, start from a blank slate every single time?
I'm very much a play by ear producer. A lot of producers, when they do sessions and collabs and stuff, they come to the session with heaps of pre-prepared stuff, like instrumental beats and loops and stuff like that. Because I'm a songwriter as well, so I like to come and make something brand new with an artist straight away, like in the moment, because I feel like that's the most natural thing. It doesn't always work, just in the same way that having lots of prepared stuff also doesn't always work. So yeah, but for me, it's different every time. Sometimes I'll start with the beat, sometimes I'll start with the melody, sometimes I'll just try and find chords. Often as a musician, that side comes out first. So a lot of the time I will just go to the keyboard or the guitar and try and find colors that will work. But it does change. It changes every time.
I'm currently speaking to singer-songwriter and producer Yo. We'll be heading for our last break of the hour. Gonna continue our chat right after this, so don't change the dial. Keep it here on Wavelength, BFM 89.9.
So hard to act the part, but the feelings don't feel like they should. I'm so sick and tired of being this way that I can't even stand aside. If I could take my brain and I would sit sane, maybe you'd come see me play tonight.
Track that takes you all the way back to 2017, that was Got No Game by Melbourne-based Malaysian singer-songwriter and producer Yo, who's joining us on the line right now for a chat. His latest single is called Lil Secret, one that he put out with Singaporean singer-songwriter Kitty Pernas not too long ago.
It's really weird. Like, I've known Kitty for a long time. We met in Darwin when she supported one of my live shows. And then years later, I went back to Singapore. I went to Singapore and I knew she was there. So we caught up. And then that same trip, I think I organized a session, just probably one of the last sessions before I flew home. And we couldn't come up, you know, we were talking before about like coming up with something like on the spot. Like, we were kind of playing around with some stuff and it wasn't bad. But then she just pulled out this demo, which is what Little Secret is now. And she'd already put all the, she programmed and played everything. So she'd done a lot of the production already and had a lot of the song written, like all her melody lines. And I was like, why don't I just jump on this and do a verse? And maybe we'll work out a bridge and stuff. And she was like okay with that. And then after we did that session, we recorded some vocals and I wrote a verse and stuff. It sat on the shelf for like 3-4 years, like pandemic years. And then Charlie Lim basically gave us the opportunity through The Great Wave to finish this song. He was like, let's finish it. So from that point, I played with the arrangement a lot. I added some production stuff just to make the song flow better. And then I mixed it and obviously added my vocals and stuff like that. But a lot of the original ideas were Kitty's. And it's turned into such a fun duet. Like, I love it so much. Yeah.
And for a song that has been like shelved, so to speak, for like 3 to 4 years and then you bring it out, but it still sounds current, it kind of shows that the songwriting itself kind of stood the test of time, would you say?
I would say so. The hook was written by Kitty, and she's such a talented writer. Like, everybody who comes across her music is like, who is this? Like, what? Where is this from? Like, where does this come from? But she's just a great pop writer. She's so talented. And I think you're right, like that. And I mean, I think the sounds that she picked as well as a producer, like, doesn't seal it in any particular time period. It definitely references the 90s and pop music and stuff like that. But just the way she's approached it has made it not sit all the way back in the 90s alone. It sits there as well as in the current time, as you say. So that's like, it's a really, really skillful display, I think, by her, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly, because it has a bit of that, you know, modern sonic in terms of the bass heaviness, you know, and all, but it does have that a bit of that 90s pop kind of signature sound. But what would you say are some of the points of references for that 90s sound for Lil Secret?
I think it's definitely like the girl bands and the boy bands of the 90s. Like, you know, the, that guitar, and it's very obviously a loop, and it's been, it's chopped up a little bit. You know, I think of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and stuff like that. And but then, yeah, you know, we talk about the modern elements. Modern elements would be like the use of autotune. It's like quite obvious on that song. And that's very much a new thing. You know, that's post, I guess post Cher, Turn Back Time. But yeah, that mix of everything. And the bass sounds a little bit old school. Mm. And it's a little bit, possibly even older than 90s. But because you don't really hear it super clearly, you can more feel it. It doesn't matter so much, and it doesn't pigeonhole it in a spot.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing if you try and break it all down.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, back in the 90s when every single instrument was done on the same MIDI keyboard, probably.
Correct. Yeah, that same synth. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm ringing roses, even if I don't eat for days. I won't even know this. And the hunger when I see your face. Courier.
Your songs currently are way more stripped back these days. I would say Tired being the perfect example, where it's just organs and guitars, no drums needed. Sometimes the longer you work on your craft, the more you start to narrow down your focus and eliminate unnecessary things. You know, how do you reach this stage?
I think I've actually been there before. I feel there was a little period around 2010, 2011 maybe, where I used only acoustic instruments or like guitars, only organic instruments. And I did an album that was actually quite country and folk influenced. So there wasn't any synths or like 808s or anything like that. And for me, it's a chance to focus on just the writing, like just the songwriting, the structure, the way you use lyrics, the story you're trying to tell and the atmosphere you're trying to create from just that. It's an approach where it's also a stylistic desire. It was a stylistic desire. And then so, having been familiar with that sound, I mean, I listen to a lot of that stuff as well. Like, I'm a big Neil Young fan and a big Bruce Springsteen fan and a big, like, you know, the band. Lots of classic songwriting from, yeah, North America kind of vibe. Like, I think just being an appreciator of that and then also enjoying more like new modern songwriters that take that approach, like say for example Moses Sumney. I'm a fan of Moses Sumney, and that's what that song is me trying to emulate. It's like me trying to emulate that, and a lot of what the message is or the point of the song is to not crowd it and to let all the things that are there that are pretty stay pretty and not be hidden behind layers and layers of stuff. I think as you get older and more mature as a musician, you naturally lean that way too. And that's not to say I don't like making dance music. I still do like packing as much in as possible. So
I remember reading last time that some say that when listeners listen to a track, they can only process a certain amount of information. So some songwriters or producers would try to limit the amount of instruments that they cram into a song. Do you believe in that as well?
I do believe in it. I don't love the concept of it. Because I feel like if you pander too much to what a listener wants to hear, it's up being your expression. And it can limit you from doing new cool stuff. But you can still use that approach. So I listen back to mixes or demos or stuff, and I'm just like, I've just put too much in there. I can't even hear the original thing. So I need to make space. I need to clear some stuff out. And you know, sadly, it means I have to delete this really cool line that I worked for hours trying to nail. But get rid of it. Because, like, which one's more important? You know, you got to weigh it up. You can't have everything all the time in a mix or in a song. It's there's only so much space. And if you really miss something, just create a new song or another version where you take that thing that you have to delete and put it somewhere else. Yeah.
Well said, man. Your last album was back in 2019, I believe, Recovery Channel. And since then, it's been a steady stream of singles. What does the future look like for your future releases?
We're planning to release a record, a full-length record next year. That includes a lot of the singles I've been releasing. There have been a few standalone ones, but I think there's going to be 3 more singles and then a release of the album. To me is really exciting because it's been so long.
And I believe you'll be previewing some of those new songs in your live shows.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's what we've been practicing actually. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Cool. It's been great speaking with you, man, and all the best for your upcoming show in Sydney. And hope to speak to you again. Thanks for joining us on the show.
It's been really fun. Thanks so much.
I'm going to close out with Lil Secret by Yo and Kitty Purnas. But as usual, you can revisit this episode and get the full track list of all the songs that we've played throughout the show by heading over to our website, www.bfm.my/wavelength, or by downloading our very own BFM app. Once again, Yo and Kitty Purnas with Lil Secret closing out the show right here on Wavelength, bringing out the best sounds and stories from the Asian region with me, Ofnir Ting, only here on BFM 89.9.
Kills me inside. And if I'm being honest, I can't tell what you're thinking. I'm hoping that you'd give me a sign. And if you wanna go with me, please just tell me so. And if you wanna stay with me,
to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.